Thanks, Sherry. Pastor Sherry, she's so cute, even if she's my kid. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We look to you, and you are looking to us. And I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes of our understanding, that we would see what you have to say and hear what you have to hear. And we just say our hearts are prepared. We're ready to take it up a level. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for just revealing truth to us so that we can grow and then we can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God. Just imagine it's a beautiful sunny day. We do have occasionally some of those. Today it's the rain, and we're not going to complain because some people over on the other coast would be just wanting this, but pretend it's a beautiful day and you got up and you decided, hey, I'm going to check out and see how all my friends are doing. So I go to my social media feeds and I start looking down, and then you see the post. You know, the post where your friend is posting like intensity. Something must have, what do they say, a bee under their bonnet, and they are da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they are sharing this hot topic on the post, okay? And you're like, ooh, this is gonna be good. And then you look down and you're like, it's only been about 30 minutes and they got a couple hundred comments going on, right? Anybody ever do that? Not me. Yes, I do. Okay, so I decided I'm gonna jump in because, you know, it's my friend that's posting something. I jump in and I start scrolling through all the comments, okay? And they're getting pretty intense. And then this is my friend that's writing the comment, you know, just giving their opinion, and all of a sudden, one of my other friends that I didn't even know they were friends jumps in and starts the comments that are more like an argument. Like it is, it's an argument. And then I see other people that are on this feed, and they're friends, and they start arguing with one another, okay? Now, none of you have ever done that, I know that. Say, yes, Pastor D, I repent, okay? So, man, I have to admit, about an hour later, I'm still going through like 500 of these because I just got sucked in. And it just escalates, just goes over the roof from what was sort of friendly comments to like, these are fighting words. And then the one person says, hey, you don't like what I said? I'm just going to unfriend you. And the other one says, block. Okay? Now, this kind of stuff happens all the time. How many know that to happen? Of course, you don't do that, but how many of you know other people do that, right? Happens all the time in our culture where we're living right now. This happens all the time. And it's sad because people who have had relationships for decades, all of a sudden, they are done with you, end of relationships. And it's not good. So here's the question, and this is kind of our main idea. How do we navigate when you have a disagreement? Because obviously I just told you a way you shouldn't, but how do you navigate when you have disagreements, okay? Because our culture is saying, hey, when you have a disagreement, you get to disconnect. When you have a disagreement with somebody, you get to disconnect. Now, none of you have ever done that. I know that, right? Okay? So here's the challenge. There's really like two challenges. Number one, I am a believer. Raise your hand if you're a believer. Raise your hand if you love Jesus Christ, okay? You're a believer, but I want to hold true to my convictions when I want to reach the world, okay? That's challenge number one. How do I do that? And then how about I'm a believer and I have a disagreement with you, okay? And how do I have a disagreement with some of my close friends that are in the church? We're your family, okay? Now, I know this past year has been a doozy, and we saw a lot of stuff like that, right? People having disagreements, people disconnecting, okay? So here we go. How do we navigate through disagreements without disconnecting, okay? So again, the culture says if you disagree with somebody, bam, I just get to disconnect, okay? So I think the question is, what does God have to say about this? And let me tell you, he's got a lot, okay? He's got a lot to think. Now, so crazy is the early church, it's not like they didn't have any disagreements. Matter of fact, their disagreements were documented all over the place. gosh, you know, I'd hate that. But it was. They just wrote all this stuff so we would benefit. So, but the real interesting thing about the early church is they were big, intense on unity. They would fight for unity in their community, in their church, in their fellowship. They would fight for unity, all right? So let me give you a scripture. First one, write this down. I got about 10 of them, so you ought to write them down today, okay? Just giving you a warning, 10. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united. In case you didn't hear it the first time, you be united in the same mind and the same judgment, all right? So this is painting a picture, all right? Now, here's another scripture, real similar, just said a different way. Turn over to Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God of all endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, and, that together, you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we actually sang a song like that, but we actually did that. We just did that, okay? We just experienced unity in worship. I mean, it was beautiful. Raise your hand. Say thank you to the worship team. Thank you. It was just beautiful, okay? And the crazy thing, there were a lot of different voices, a lot of different tones, and hopefully we were on pitch, okay? You know, okay? And it was beautiful, right? Amen, it was beautiful. But I am not really a music person. Where's Lane? He has tried to teach me when to clap. Still don't get it. I had a one-on-one lesson, okay? So I may not know a lot about music, but I know when voices clash, okay? I know when voices are not in harmony. I know that much, okay? I know when there's disharmony in voices. And occasionally you'll see me fluff my hair like I'm worshiping. It's because somebody's like, wah! Okay, the reason why I say that, just give you that example, okay? We should never forget what we look like to the world when we're not in harmony. Okay. Someone should say, amen. I got one amen. All right. Let me tell you, it doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good, okay? And that's why 1 Corinthians says, hey, y'all that talk in other tongues of men and angels, y'all that move in the gifts to the world, you all that demonstrate all these amazing things, what's 1 Corinthians say? But if you have not love, you sound like a clanging to the world, all right? So we've got to fight for unity. Everybody say fight. For unity. Amen, all right? If you're taking notes, I got a goodie. Here we go. United, that word united, becomes untied when we get the I in the wrong place. I plagiarized that from somebody, but it was so good. Ready? Write that down. United becomes untied when we get the I out of place. And you know, the crazy thing is you're going to sit and hear this message and you're going to go, oh, that's for somebody else. I should get the CD. Yes, we still have CDs. Are you listening? All right. We can listen to a message like this about unity and think it's for somebody else. But how about, novel thought, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything in me that is causing somebody in the church or in my world to be disconnected, to be not in harmony, to be not in unity? You know, God likes those kind of prayers. We should be doing that, okay? So, no brainer. Ready? No brainer. The devil. Anybody know about this devil? He is our adversary. He is our enemy. And you know what he loves to do? He loves to get you in discord. He loves to get you to disagree. He loves you to get to a place where you get disagreements and you disconnect with Christians, with people in the church.
All right? He just loves to do that. Now, he knows that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He knows. The devil knows this. He knows that the devil said, that Jesus said, what's the other one? A house divided shall not stand. The devil's a smart cookie, okay? But we should be smarter than him. He knows those things. He knows the word of God. And yet, he also knows that we can get caught up and being in disagreement, and then we disconnect. So, everybody, let's be smarter than the devil. Amen? So today, I am doing real practical stuff, because after last year, it is time to get practical, all right? So I want us to learn how to navigate through disagreements so that we don't disconnect. Okay, now there's two types of people we're going to talk about. Already, first group, the unsaved. Okay, how do we navigate with people that are unsaved? When I say unsaved, they're not in the church. They're not believers yet. I always say yet, okay? So how do I disagree with people who are in the world, all right? It can be a challenge, okay? So I don't know about you, but I want to share the truth with people, okay? And I believe the truth will set you free. So I want to do that. I want to share the truth about Jesus with people. But, you know, I've run into a few roadblocks with people in the world. And I think I'm just a day older and a little smarter. So I want to share a couple of them. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Okay, and this is for the unchurched, but it also works in church. But right now we're going to talk about the unchurched. Ready? Relationships earn me the right to speak into someone's life. You should be shouting, Pastor Rudy, that's good. Yeah. Relationships earn me the right to speak into someone's life, all right? Now, how many of you have ever changed your mind on a really important topic because some random person posted a comment on you and said, you're wrong, you need to change? Not. I didn't listen to them. Did you? Block, right? Okay, so probably never. Why? Because relationship earns you the right to speak into someone's life, all right? Now, a lot of times, everybody raise your hand. I have good intentions. I really do. I have good intentions, okay? But you have to understand, I am coming from a different world when he talks to people of the world, okay? I am just coming different mentality, all right? So sometimes we tell these people that have not received Jesus, okay? They don't know nothing about Jesus. And I want to tell you, in the last probably 15 years ago, I was still involved in the public schools. And I would go in and do a Bible club. Did it for years. I did it with Tom Medwin and my good friend June and stuff like that. I watched as I got coming out of doing that. I had kids in the beginning. They'd been raised in church. Their grannies took them to church. They knew church. By the time I finished, and I did about 10 years of that, I had more kids that did not know church, didn't know Jesus, okay? So listen, we're talking to a different group, and you want to tell them, change your behavior. You need to modify the way you live before they meet Jesus. You're going to do that? It's not going to work. How many of you know it doesn't work? They just get ticked off at you, all right? And you just kind of close the door, and then you got to pray more and more, okay? So let me ask you this. Would you ever be upset with a blind person who bumped into you? Good, right answer, because otherwise I was praying for you, okay? That's so silly. Why? Because they're blind and they can't help that they can't see. They're blind. They can't help. They can't see, so they're going to bump into you. And yet Jesus tells us people who have not received him, he calls them what? Spiritually blind. Okay? And we get upset because we run into them or they do this, but they're spiritually blind, right? Okay? And there's this guy, one of my kids told me about this, and they thought, Mom, this would be really interesting, and about a couple months ago, and I'm like, good example today, but ready? There's this guy called Little Nas X, L-I-L, Nas, N-A-X-X. Don't look him up right now. Save it for later, okay? So he's a songwriter and a rapper, and he's kind of this personality person, okay? And recently he came out with a shoe. He came out with a Nike shoe. Now, Nike is denying that they endorse this, so we're going to believe the best of them, all right? But he came out with a shoe, and do you know what he did with the shoe? He inserted blood of humans in the heel of the shoe. Okay? And let's see what else. He calls them Satan shoes. Okay? And it kind of has this sacrilegious Bible scriptures on the side. And of course, guess what color they are? Red and black. And guess how many he released? 666. Now, naturally, as a good Christian parent, I'm thinking, I'm trying to raise my kids in this godless world. And part of me is like, I am just outraged. How could he do such a thing? All right? None of you ever thought like that, okay? And I am trying to protect my kids, all right? Now, on the other side, this is a guy who that I might have to be, watch out how I speak about him. Why? He's spiritually blind, and he is doing what spiritually blind people do. Okay, what did my friend say? You know, they're the world. What are you expecting them to act like, right? All righty. So how about if we change how we say about this person and we start praying that he would see Jesus, he would hear Jesus. And I'm telling you, that'll change him, all right? Instead of, oh, my God. Okay. Been there, done that. I'm trying not to, okay? Here's one more funny thing to write down. Not funny, but here's a good one. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Anybody ever been a substitute teacher? Oh, my gosh. You ought to pray for them because all of a sudden you get the phone call at 6 a.m. and say, hey, you're the sub teacher to go into this class. You're going into a class that you have no relationship, right? None. And then you're going to come down and give them the rules. How many of you were so good to your substitute teachers? Right? It didn't go good. Man, I repent. Okay, so pray for substitute teachers. Talk to your kid, too, all right? All right. So here's the real truth. As the church, raise your hand, you are part of the church of Jesus Christ. If you've received Jesus, you are the church. You are the church. You are the church. You are the church, okay? And we are not called to hold the world accountable for their actions. Listen to me. Okay, that's Jesus, all right? Now, we are accountable on certain occasions to hold the church accountable. And we're going to get that in a few minutes, and some of you going, yeah, I'm waiting for that. No, listen, okay? Our mission can't be the morality police, you know, blow, hey, you change your behavior, stop doing that, how could you do that? Okay, how about our mission is, I want to live a life of Jesus, I want them to see Jesus in me, I want to tell them about Jesus, who is not condemning them, but stands there with his arms wide open and say, come to me. Okay, how about we make that our mission? Amen? Okay, so here's the cool part. You may be here, you may be listening online, and you're going, well, you know, Pastor D, I don't know if I believe in this God thing. That's okay. Well, Pastor D, I don't know if I believe in everything you do. That's okay. Guess what? You are welcome to this place. We will call you a part of our family, but I will warn you. You stick around here long enough, you get into the presence of worship we just had. You keep hearing the word of God like I'm going to say, okay? And I'm telling you, it'll start changing you. It will change you, okay? So, and I'll also say you're going to meet Jesus if you stick around here long enough, all right? And I have watched that. Some of you are living proof. You just said, I'm just going to slide in here and no one's going to tell me what to do. And I've watched people's lives get through the presence and through the washing of the word, the Bible says, okay? Instead of clean up your act, then you can come to Jesus. No. How about, hey, come to Jesus. Guess what his job is? He clean you up, okay? And he's not beating you up. He's cleaning you up. How many of you have walked with the Lord for 10 years, 20 years? Bunch more years, okay? I know you are different from day one than you are now. You've been cleaning up, and that's Jesus doing it. He's so sweet about it. Okay, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Here's another good scripture. I only have nine more to go. Ready? Romans chapter, what did I say? 12. Lost my place. Oh, yeah, Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18. We're talking about unsaved people that have not received Jesus. We could say they're the outside of the church because, you know, you're inside. You should do better. But, okay, sorry, Pastor D. I prayed. I said, Lord, please help me say just the right things. Alrighty. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. All right? With who? Okay, what's everyone mean? Everyone, even people who are far from God, even people who don't see things the way you see things, okay? So he's saying, be nice, live at peace, okay? So that's group one. How do you navigate with a disagreement with people who don't know Jesus? That's group one. Okay, group two. This is the biggie. This one's going to take a little more time, okay? These are saved. Group two, saved. People inside the church. We're going to just say that for reference, okay? Inside the church. Believers, you've received Jesus. People, the saved, okay? Now, you know what I've seen? So many times people come to church with expectations. Oh, I'm at church. I'm in the church. Whoa, I'm never going to have a disagreement. They're all going to be so nice to me, okay? And because this is the church. This is where Jesus hangs big, right? Okay? But I want to tell you, the church is the place you will experience more pain, more hurt, more disagreement, okay, than anywhere on the planet, all righty? Okay, so how do we deal with it? Okay, now listen, the Bible has a lot to say to us, lots, okay, especially that New Testament side, all right? And it tells us a lot to us and how we can have a disagreement inside the church, all right? So I'm just going to give you some practical things, okay, that'll help you. First, let me say this. There are moments when it's necessary. Everybody smile at me for a second, all right? Where you should disconnect with people that say they're believers, okay? Now, there's not a lot of times that happens, but it does happen, all righty? So turn over to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans 16:17, okay? This is a great example. Romans 16:17, it says this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, all right? I urge you, brothers and sisters, raise your hand, that's us, okay? To watch out for those who cause division. He's talking to believers. He's going, open your eyes. Watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching, the Bible, that you had learned. Keep away from them. So there are moments, not a lot, where the Bible says if there's somebody that's causing division, somebody that's causing division in the church of God, somebody who's saying, hey, you need to do this, this, and this, and it is not what the Bible says. There are times, that's the time, where you will part ways, okay? Everybody smile. This is so much fun, all righty? Okay. So let me give you another scripture. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Okay. Titus 2. No, Titus 3. Is it Titus 3? Titus 3:10. Sorry, wrong typo. Here we go. Titus 3:10. Listen to this. For a person who's sort of saying the same thing, the person who stirs up division after warning them once and then twice, have nothing more to do with them. Okay. Kind of see the pattern, right? All right. Now, here's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. All right. It's talking about a person that is dealing with a sin problem in their life, and they refuse to be repentant, okay? They refuse, flat out, alrighty? So listen to this. Here we go. I can hardly believe, okay, this is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to one of his churches. Like, he knows y'all. He's writing to him, and he goes like this. I can hardly believe the report about sexual immorality going on among you. He's talking to his church. He's talking, not talking to the world. He's talking to Christians, all right? I can't believe the report I heard about sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. something that the Gentiles don't do, something that non-Christians, the world doesn't even do, all right? I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother, okay? And you okay? Okay. All righty. Now, he's talking to somebody who's sleeping with his stepmother. How many of you know? Not a good thing, right? Okay. And he's saying, you know, the world even knows that? The world even knows that, okay? And he's talking to this person, these persons, and they're not repenting, all righty? And matter of fact, they come to church every weekend and kind of flaunt it. Na-na-na-na-na, right? Okay? And they do not want to change. Now, he's going to tell them what to do. He's telling the church, what do you do about this situation? What do you do, all right? And in verse 2, he says, and you should remove them from your fellowship. Now, for all you justice people, you know, this is a good time, all right? This is where we have people who do not, will not, won't repent, okay? And he's saying that you need to disconnect with them. This is the one time you disconnect with them, okay? You're to remove the offender from among you, all righty? Now, I want to say something. This happens far and few. Just doesn't happen a lot. Okay? It doesn't happen a lot. I, in 35 years at church, we've had to deal with this once. Okay? So once in 35 years. All right? It doesn't happen every day. So don't go looking for your excuse to go, get you, get out of here. All righty? Okay. So, and let me say this. There are more scriptures in your Bible about how to have unity. There are more scriptures that encourage us how to fight for unity, how to fight for the relationship, all right? There's tons of them that say, fight for this relationship, all right? And here's a good example. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Somewhere in here. Nope, where is it? I got so many scriptures. Where did I put it? Oh, here we go. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, ready? Verse 1. This is Paul. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Verse 2, with all humility, I like that word, and gentleness, and patience. I don't like that word, but it is a Bible word, okay? Patience. Listen to what you are walking in humility, walking in gentleness, and patient. Ready? Bearing with one another in love. All right, put up with one another in love. Now put up in love, right? Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Praise God. I like that word maintain. How many of you would never drive your car for like a zillion miles and not expect that you might have to do some maintenance to it? Come on, you know, all right? You know you do maintenance. So how about we have this God thought that it will take some maintenance in our relationships, okay? Through communication instead of we had a disagreement, disconnect. How about we recognize it takes maintenance, all right? So how do we navigate through disagreement? Now, shifting gears a little bit, the early church talked a lot in the Bible about how the world sees us, how the world sees us, how the world sees us, all right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all right? When one of you, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, when one of you has a dispute with another believer, okay, wait a minute, he's talking about church people, right? When one of you has a dispute with one of you, right? Okay? When one of you has a dispute with one other believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to the other believers? Okay. Now, what's really interesting, we have a sue happy culture. Your leaf from your tree was on my yard. Sue you! Okay? It's just bananas. Okay? Sue, 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 sue. But listen, here's interesting. It was going on back then. Nothing new. It was going on back then. People were suing them, okay? Now, I have to say this.
because we recently had to do this. No, we didn't, sort of. Okay. It doesn't mean that you never have a moment or an opportunity where you can't go to the law. How do I say that better? There will possibly be times that you have to go to the courts of law, okay? Okay. And I'm not going to get into that, so keep moving. All right, you can figure it out, okay? But listen, in our culture now, you know what we love to do? We like to take them to the court of public opinion online, all right? Well, you know, we go online, and Paul is saying, hey, listen, the world is watching you, and you are supposed to look different. Right? You're supposed to look different. Jesus even said that the world will know us by our... Really interesting, that scripture, it wasn't the world. He's not talking about the world knowing the world. It's the world is looking at us loving one another. They're watching us love one another. What do we say? Humility, gentleness, patience. That's what the world is looking at, all right? So, I just thought that was a good one to keep in mind. I'm sure somebody could use that, right? Just write that down for a note. So here's a big question. What do I do when somebody wrongs me? Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah, somebody wrongs me, okay? How do I disagree, all right? Especially when I feel like they've sinned against me. And that does happen, all right? All right? So now, I think there's a whole lot of us that are really thick-skinned. All right? We get people, right? The world acts like the world. We get people are people, all righty? So, and a friend of mine, their church core values are, I love this one, I'm going to steal it, no perfect people allowed at YCF, right? So we get that. There's no perfect people, but what do we do when we have disagreement with people, okay? Well, guess who has the answer besides Pastor D? Jesus. Open up Matthew 18:15. If you don't know this scripture, it's going to be your favorite. If you do know this scripture, keep walking in it, all right? Matthew 18:15. This is a great one, okay? Matthew 18:15. Ready? Now, before I say that, there's this phenomena going on. It's called church hurt. It is escalating in the church. And therefore, people are not rooted or going to church because they got church hurt going on. And you know how I know that? One, they're not in church, but two, whenever somebody new comes, within minutes, somebody new attends YCF, within minutes, they tell me why they left their last church because they got hurt. All right? And you know what? I like to ease them in real slow and say, well, just want to tell you, you're going to have the same problem here. But different people, different faces, different problems, okay? It's the nature of the beast, all right? And so how do I navigate this, all right? You all at Matthew 18:15? If a brother or sister, a fellow disciple, that's what it means in the Greek, a brother and sister in the Lord, everybody look to the right, everybody look to the left. I think I went left and right, whatever. That's y'all. If you all right, if a brother and sister in the Lord, if they sin against you, write this down. Step one, go and point out their faults. I'm going to say this real loud. Just between the two of you. Not on Facebook, not on Instagram, not everybody in your brother and your sister, okay? What does it say? We do it just between the two of us. I'm working on it. You're working on that? Yeah, step one, okay? Keep reading, verse 15. If they listen, you won them over. What? You won them over. I have had many moments like that. And let me tell you, so someone said something, I feel like they sinned against me, or better yet, they've come to me and felt like I sinned against them. It's real awkward. It's awkward to talk about it, all right? But listen, once we get past this awkwardness, okay, and we just go, okay, there we go, okay? You know what happened? And we start moving forward. We put it behind us. I tell you, most of the time, it has deepened my relationship with that person. Yeah, okay? Everybody say, it's worth fighting for. All right, keep reading. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Oh, unity. city. How about that? Right? Won them over. Verse 16, if they will not listen, step two, write this down. Take one or two others, I lost my place, so that with you, along with you, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three. So what you're doing is you're inviting not, you know, just one or two, okay? Because sometimes, you know, they need that help. They need to hear it from, you know, other people, all right? Okay, verse 17, if they still refuse to listen, step three, tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen even to the church, this is your last resort, okay? Treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Okay, what does that mean today? That means you don't have this intimate fellowship every day with them. Like, they're now acquaintances. Or you see them at the grocery store, and you're nice to them. You don't dodge them, okay? You go, hi, how you doing? But you know what happens? They are no longer in this inner circle, this community like they were before because they wouldn't listen, all right? Now, this is tough talk, but this is the real deal. I've been in this church since the day we started it. almost 35 years ago, okay? And I have witnessed a ton of relationships with people that have had history together. I mean, good history together, all right? But I have witnessed them break up before they ever did step one. Oh, isn't that what I said the culture is? Like, we have a disagreement, we disconnect. They have, you know, wait a minute, we're the church. Do step one, okay? And I'm telling you, it's got to break the heart of the Lord. And, you know, we ought to look the opposite of the world. We should look better than the world. We should be doing this, all right? Everybody say, fight for unity. Fight for unity. So, who's that person? Look at them. No, don't do that. Close your eyes. Who is that person? You know, who's that person that you, don't look at me. Okay. I'm going to read now. Okay, who's the person that you need to make things right with? Who's the person, listen, that you need to fight for? Who should you fight for? Okay. Not long ago, I think it was about a year ago, something like this, a person, okay, came up to me and they said, you know, Pastor D, I can't remember, we were having a communion service, and they said, you know, Pastor D, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me during communion. Said, don't take that until you get right with this relationship. And he said, I didn't take communion. I walked over to that person, and I was like, Lord, to that person, I am going to humble myself. I'm going to admit my fault, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness. You know, I think Jesus likes that, right? Right. I see some of you do that at worship. Now, you think I got my eyes closed the whole time, which I usually do. But I've seen people stop worship and walk on the other side and give hugs. And I know you're doing it because you're all crying and running for the Kleenex box. That's good. That's humility. That's good. All right. You know? Okay. I'm going to switch gears, but y'all going to get it. No, no, no. You know people because it's not us. Right. Here we go. Sometimes I see people dividing over who they follow. We talk about this, okay? Even in church, all right? I follow this pastor. Oh, that pastor's a heretic. Oh, my gosh. And it's almost like we have pride in our tribe. I'm of this tribe, okay? All right, and listen, that's not new to the Bible. They had that in the early church. Nothing new under the sun, all right? Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, okay? This is Paul, and he's going to deal with this. But we started our very first scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, make sure there's no divisions. Make sure you're united. Remember that? So Paul gives that first part. Make sure there's no division. Make sure there's disunity, okay? And then he jumps in on verse 11, okay? Here we go. Nope, lost my place. Where am I? Yep, here we go. 1 Corinthians 1:11. My brothers and sisters, Some from Chloe's household have informed me, sound like a tattletale, but this is when you do this. You know, I love, no, I don't love, but certain groups of people are like, well, we can't tell Pastor D because she's a girl and we're in the men's group. No, I'm the pastor. Would you let me know what's going on so I can pray? You know, okay, just had to say that once from the pulpit. Okay, pet peeve, here we go. So some from Chloe's house have informed me that there are quarreling among you. Okay? What I mean is this. One says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. And another says, I follow Christ. All right? So, you know, then he just kicks him in the pants. Ready? Verse 13. Ready? This is Paul. He just kicks him around. He goes, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me, Paul, to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay? Let me give you the D-gospel, my own version. Ready? 21st century, ready? One of you says, I follow Joyce Myers. Another says, I follow Stephen Furtock. Another says, I follow Bill Johnson. Still another says, I follow Christ. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Rick Renner crucified on the cross for you? Were you baptized in the name of Creflo Dollar? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay, what's Paul saying? You said a lot there. So with my gospel, the D. Listen, we probably do not agree with everything. Okay? But we do agree one thing. His name is Jesus. Okay? We agree with Jesus, and that's why we're here. And you know our vision here is to, I haven't gone over this in a long time, gather, grow, and go. We gather for one thing. We gather for him. We gather to worship him. That's why we're here, all right? Praise God. All right. Moving right along. Big question. There are moments in my life, and there are moments in your life when we have disagreements. Amen, Pastor D. Okay, but that's not an amen time. There are moments when we have disagreements with one another, with people we love, right? Over things that we think are important. We do, all right? Okay, and you talk about, sound like last year. Man, there was a lot of disagreement on what was important to me, all righty? But I want to tell you, you are in great company with the early church. They had the same thing, different names, same thing going on. Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 1. Let me give you background. So this is a church, the early church, okay? And they had Jews in the church. You think everybody was like a Christian. Oh, the church started and everybody's Christian. No, the church started with Jews meeting Jesus. Okay, so they had these Jews that had an encounter with Jesus, identified themselves with Jesus, okay? Now, these Jews in this church that now are following Jesus, they were still big about their festivals and their traditions, okay? All right? And then there's a bunch that now the Jews that are identifying with Jesus, okay? And they start... how do I say this? Joining with the Gentiles who met Jesus, who don't know nothing about your feast or your holidays or your tradition. All right, so we got this thing going on. Basically, you have one house and you got division going on, right? You got division going on, all right? And they, well, let's say it nicer. You have different opinions. Different opinions. I always like that, okay? And Paul has to address this. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Here we go. As for the one who is weak in the faith, now don't get stuck on that part, welcome him. So somebody who thinks different opinion, welcome him. Someone has a different opinion, welcome him, all right? Welcome him, but not to quarrel over his opinion. Verse 2, one person believes he can eat anything, meat, smoky bones, while the other person eats only a vegan, all right? A vegetarian, he's a vegan, all right? So you got these things going on, different opinions, all right? Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, okay? For God has welcomed them. Let's see, verse 5. One person esteems, then he gives another example, one day better than the other. Another person esteems all days alike, whatever. Okay, each one should fully be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. Wherever your stance is, you do it to honor the Lord, all right? Honor the Lord. And the one who eats, eats to honor the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains to honor the Lord and he gives thanks to the Lord. Okay. Think about last year, okay, and think about what I just read. It's kind of crazy, but follow me. Sounds like he says you can disagree, right? He says you can disagree and still honor one another and honor the Lord. Number two is the kicker. Do you still honor the person who disagrees with you? Okay, we don't like that word. You have a different opinion, okay? You are to honor them and honor the Lord, all right? Novel idea for last year, right? It's just kind of important, all right? So, last thing we're going to do. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. How many of you have heard of the term cancel culture? Of course you have. Okay, you can't be in July, all right? So it's interesting, as I was preparing this message and I'm looking up cancel culture, do you know there's 18 definitions for cancel culture? So you better be careful you get the right one or they're going to cancel you. All right? So be nice to me. Some of us see cancel culture like social justice, okay? And if you don't like it, just put your head down for a minute, okay? And but this is good. So some people see this cancel culture as for social justice, like I am fighting for the oppressed. I am fighting to make sure things that are wrong are made right, all right? And listen, when you find a rapist and that kind of person, social justice is good. Right? I believe God says in the eyes of God, that's good, all right? So that cancel culture, that social justice is good, all right? Now, I want to flip to the other side of that term, social justice, because some people are in the cancel culture with this idea of shaming. There's a lot of shaming going on, okay? Now, how do you know if you are participating with that? Real easy. You become the judge, the jury, and the executor. That's what I see, all right? Now, wait a minute. And listen, if you find yourself slipping into that, guys, that's not a good place to be, all righty? So, I believe that's not where God wants us. I know that. I don't even believe it. I know that, all right? How many of you grew up with Kool-Aid? Oh, my God. Red Kool-Aid number whatever. I grew up with Kool-Aid, okay? And how many of you know that Kool-Aid tastes really good going down, but it requires one thing, sugar, baby, sugar, lots of sugar. So I Googled it. They say one cup. How many of you did more? Like, we just 10 cups later, because it tastes good going down, all right? The problem with the cancel culture that's shaming, okay? Oh, that pastor. Okay, did you hear what he just did? Little sip of the Kool-Aid, right? He's a heretic. My finger up. Okay, thanks, Whit. Did you see that person? They're getting a divorce. I knew it wouldn't last. All right, you're sipping the Kool-Aid because it's good going down. It's full of sugar. And did you know this? This is amazing. There are groups of people, YouTubers, that their mission is to expose Christian leaders. I mean, they have YouTubes. The YouTubers have YouTubes. There's a better way of saying that because, you know, I'm so up on all this lingo, like the title of today's message. I was like, wing. So inside joke here, okay? So they are dedicated to exposing Christian leaders. And by the way, there's two scriptures. Woo! You have just not only stood on thin ice, you are down under because God talks about doing that.
Okay? So they like to expose 10 reasons why I left that church. 5 reasons where that worship at that church is demonic. 5 reasons why that pastor's a heretic. It's all over YouTube. And one of them, I had a Christian pastor point out one of those. They got sucked to drinking the Kool-Aid. I was appalled. I was sad. Okay. So, you know, end up wrapping up. God says there's a better way. God says there's a better way. So how about instead of pointing out exposing people's sin, how about we expose them to God? How about you expose them to Jesus who died on a cross to save you and me? And I was bad. Okay? You were bad. How about you expose them to a God that loves them unconditionally? How about we do that? Man, I think a whole lot of people will meet Jesus, right? Amen? Okay. Praise God. How do I finish up here? Ba-ba-da-ba-da. Tearing out 5 pages. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let me slip in one more scripture. Because this is to us. And this is the one that you just, I'm not reading that. Ready? Romans 14:10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? I'm going to put in, why do you have a different opinion than your brother and you just want to take him down? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess to God that Jesus is Lord. Okay? I am going to stand before the Lord Jesus someday, and so will you. I will not stand as a unsaved. I stand before him clean, forgiven, holy, and righteous. But my judgments will be on what I have done. I am not standing before him on what you've done. So stop doing this, right? Alrighty? Praise God. I will only answer for what I have done and what God's called me. You will only stand before the Lord. So don't go freaking out, not acting nice. I said that with a smile. Amen. So let's pray. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just have a moment and let's, you know, kind of end it on a funny, but let's connect back with God. How about we allow the Lord to do some heart surgery on our hearts? Let's just say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Search my heart. Because maybe there's somebody that you just disconnected and you didn't do step one. Just let the Lord just, you know, say, okay, God, yep, you're right. Don't argue with him. He's always right. Or maybe you're one of those justice people. We love to point out black and white and this and that. And how about if you're that justice person? I can be that way. Okay, how about you say, God, I will point them to you. I will point them to you because you have loved them endlessly and forever. And you sent your son to die for them. So that they could be in your family. I will not shame people. I will lead them to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You know that scripture I led, it said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. And I just want to toss this out because I don't know all of you, and you know, sometimes I just think, oh, they're doing good. But I want to ask you, someday you're going to kneel before the Lord and you will confess Jesus as Lord. But I would rather that you confess him on this side of eternity, like today, Jesus be the Lord of my life, than when you stand before him on that judgment day because you've already made a wrong choice. Okay. So I just want to say, if there's anybody here today, and I want you to know how much God loves you, that he gave his son Jesus to die for your sins and my sins, to pay the penalty and to get on a cross where you and I should have been,
That's how much God loves you. He loves you so much that Jesus did that, and it didn't cost you anything. It cost him everything. And he is still to this day standing there with arms open and say, will you come to me? So I want to invite anybody here that has never done that. Would you pray this prayer with me? And listen, I know there's bunches of you here. You've already prayed this. So how about we pray this together for whoever this is, for the day that you, today, would you say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus, that he took my place. He took my sin. He took my penalty for me. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to be my Lord. And I will follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that today for the first time, you are now a child of God. You are now a child of God. You are changed on the inside. You may not know that, but you are. And the crazy thing, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices. And I don't know what that looks like. I really don't. I have an idea what a party looks like, okay? But they're throwing a party. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, you are now a child of God. And I'd love you to tell me about it. I'm going to give you a hug, a Bible, and a whole bunch of good stuff, all right? And we welcome you here. And we welcome you always back, but praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise God. The culture may say we can disagree and disconnect, but what are we going to do? We are fighting for unity. It is worth it. Amen? Praise God. Well, I love you. Probably not a happy note to end on. Yes, it is. It's always good. The coffee's hot. It's good and strong. Pastor Sherry, you have something? Yes.
Just a reminder, we are notarizing our camp paperwork. So Emily is, thank you so much. Everybody say, thank you, Emily. She is notarizing all of our camper paperwork for free, and we just so appreciate you.
Where's she going to be?